Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Humat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, good morning to you. We've had two wonderful hours already, and for those of you who don't know, we have 4 hours of live call-in radio every Saturday. We start at 8 o'clock, and if you want to know where we are for all 4 hours, simply go to our website, lmclinic.com. Push the podcast button, a little button on the top right-hand side of our homepage, and it'll show you where we are.
We don't advertise this show on the other station, nor the other show on this station.
That's right. Just out of courtesy.
Yeah. It's just a little tacky.
Yeah, a little tacky. Yeah. But as it relates to 570 KVI, you all should be very proud in one sense. This is where we started off, right, Jerry?
Yes, 1999. I did the first show on this station.
That's right, 570 KVI. And we are glad we got started.
In those days, of course, I followed this young man named Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was nice of Rush to kind of warm up the audience for the main event, which was us.
That's right. That's right. So this is fun. I've got Dr. Samara Humat, of course, is here. I've got Dr. Jerry Mixon, you just heard. And at least for the first hour, maybe longer, we've got Dr. Reuben Maiden, a cardiologist that not only saved my life, but he has saved the lives of a whole lot of people.
And he's been my favorite cardiologist for about 20 years now.
So that's right. And only coincidentally that you ran into him separate from me. I didn't bring him to you.
No.
Dr. Reuben Maiden has been my wife's cardiologist at least 25 years, maybe longer. But so we're really glad about that. And other relatives, by the way.
There is a commonality, though. Reuben is one of many physicians that have become aware of longevity through the years because he was treating one of our patients.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And that by seeing our patients, he became aware of what we were doing. And we've now got a lot of doctors that are our patients because they saw our other patients.
That's right. This is one thing that people don't understand. We have a lot of doctors, including because you gave us permission to say so.
Yes.
And you brought it up on the last show that you and your wife are patients here at Longevity Medical Clinic. And often they come because they've
seen
their own
patients.
Yeah. Are doing so well, and they don't understand why. I mean, it happens all the time.
And then they'll come and investigate, and they end up as patients. You know, when I started this clinic back in 98, it was considered wild-eyed, strange. In fact, all of my colleagues told me not to do it, you know, that I was going to ruin my life and my career, and that nobody was going to pay for medical care themselves these days. And most of the physicians in the area were extremely skeptical of what we were doing.
That is a very polite word. They were turds. Oh, did I say that out loud?
No.
They were jerks.
That was your internal monologue.
That's
I'm
right.
Sure you
they
never
were
say
jerks.
That out loud on the air.
Total jerks.
But now, of course, we have an enormous number of physician patients.
That's right.
Which is,
I love
it. It's nice being the doctor that the doctors come see.
That's right. So, and for darn good reason. In any event,
Reuben is another of those, because Reuben is a guy that my doctors will all go see, you know.
That's right.
I have cardiac problems. I call Ruben.
Yeah, but see, you were at the leading edge. At that time, nobody did what you do. Now it's become standard of care.
Oh my gosh. You can't say standard of care.
Well, no, but
not in orthodox medicine.
But some of the stuff I'm doing is still way out. For instance.
Well, you are on the leading edge of other things now.
Yes, because for instance, this weekend is my weekend that I'm doing my antisenescent therapy.
Yes,
Every other month I do 3 days of antisenescent therapy. And next week I'll be taking my intravenous exosomes.
Well, you see, that's the beauty because you don't rest once you find something. You then move on to the next big thing. And so you're on the leading edge of a couple of new other things.
Yep.
So in any event, Ruben, Dr. Maiden, thank you for being here. We appreciate it, you coming in.
Well, you're welcome. I appreciate you guys too and all you do for my patients and my own personal health. I'm just honored to be here and grateful for the opportunity as well.
Just very quickly, I'm not going to go into the long story that we did during the first hour when you first came, but Dr. Maiden is my cardiologist, and thanks to Dr. Umat here, who had a hunch, and she had me do a calcium score test. It showed I was kind of off the charts. I immediately saw Ruben because he was my wife's cardiologist and other family member cardiologist. And within 24 hours, he had me on a stress test. And then, boom, I was on his table, nearly died. So I was told, and I've got 7 stents. It's a glorious, glorious story. I love to tell. I'm not going to tell all the details again, but I am here because of you. Dr. Umat, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you, Dr. Maiden.
But those stents, the angioplasty following by the stents later on, Dr. Ruben was one of the pioneers.
Yes.
In the country. And he brought it to the Pacific Northwest. But he's got a great story about how he did his first angioplasty.
Yes, and we told the story during the last program, but because we
it's wonderful.
Yes. We need to have you tell it again. You brought angioplasty and stenting into the Pacific Northwest.
But we need to set the stage.
Yes.
Angioplasty, because 99% of our audience doesn't know what that is.
Yes.
Okay. If your arteries in your heart are getting very, very narrow, and there's not enough blood supply going through, Dr. Ruben and doctors like him can run a catheter all the way into your heart, into that vessel, kind of pry open that little narrow spot, inflate a balloon and stretch it open, remove the balloon and restore the blood supply to that part of your heart.
Please tell the story again for a few people that have followed you here from the other station. That's okay. Let's tell that story again because it's classic.
Oh, I'm happy to.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, I always do my disclaimer. My opinions are those of my own, not my healthcare system.
Good.
And so I want to get that out. Secondly,
that's good.
I brought angioplasty to my hospital system here. There were other practitioners doing it just beginning around the Seattle area. It was brand new in the mid-80s. I don't really think of myself as a pioneer. I didn't develop the procedure. But I do feel like I've had a very intimate life with angioplasty and stenting. And so for those of you who just heard this story on the other station, bear with me. These guys want me to tell this again. There's a lot of laughter in the room here. So this was back in 1982. I had just started my cardiac fellowship, and I'd heard about a guy who had come up with this crazy idea of putting a balloon down a coronary artery to open a blockage. Until then, it was bypass surgery, you know, and so this was a brand new idea. And so his name was Andreas Grunzig. He's in Europe. And he was a physiologist. He wasn't a cardiologist, but he started doing this and started with animal models and then started doing a few humans. And of course there were no balloons. So he made the balloons in his kitchen.
And, that's great.
Incredible.
And so, I had heard about this and it sounded fascinating. I'd seen a poster session and so one of my attendings at the University of Minnesota, I was in my first year of cardiac fellowship, was interested too. And there was a guy down in Kansas City, his name was Jeff Hartzler, amazing human being also. And Jeff had gone and studied with Andreas. He brought balloons back to the United States, and he was putting on a course. And so we had heard about the course, and we thought, we got to go to this. It was on a weekend, so we drove all night long from Minneapolis down to Kansas City, and we went to Jeff's course. And there was just a handful of people in the audience, and everyone from university centers. And he gave balloons to all the participants so they could take them back and start learning how to experiment with them in their own institutions. And we got a balloon and we brought it back. And we're thinking about, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? We weren't really sure. And it was within a week or two of that that we had a patient come in with a heart attack. He was 39 years old, smoker, which is common for really young heart attacks, construction worker. His heart stopped on the job. He had a heart attack, collapsed, arrested. And so he was brought to St. Paul Ramsey Hospital. And this was one of those tragic cases where we worked on him for a long time. CPR, he was put on a ventilator, drugs, pacemaker, went into his arteries to see, and he had a massive blockage that didn't clear up with the blood clot busters we were using then. And sadly, he died. And so he was laying there on the table and flatlined, and it was tragic, and we're all just very, very upset over the circumstance. And we're all kind of leaving the room, getting our gear off and going back to the control room. And the idea occurred to me that we have this balloon. We've never used it. We have an opportunity to use it in someone we can't harm. So let's give it a try and see how to use this thing. So we went back in, we wired his vessel, we put the balloon in, inflated it, we deflated it. That was interesting. It wasn't that hard. You know, it was like this pretty uneventful. And we pull the balloon out because you could sterilize it and use it on the next person. We go back to the control room, and this guy had been flatlined for somewhere between maybe 6, 8, 10 minutes, and he woke up. He just suddenly woke up after the balloon procedure.
Oh, wow.
And he's thrashing on the table, and he's clearly disoriented, doesn't know what's going on. And he's a strong guy, and we're running out there. We're trying to hold him down. He's got a catheter in his leg, and he's pulls his ventilator tube out of his throat,
wow.
You know, and he's going, what happened? What happened? And they say, hey, you're okay. You had a heart attack. You know, you're in the hospital. You're okay. And so we finally get him secured down, and Carmen says, well, can I go home? I go, no, you can't go home, you know? And so the attending and I, we go back into the control room. We have our gear off, and he looks at me and he goes, what? What the F-bomb? And I'm going, what the F-bomb? And he's going, what the F-bomb? I'm going, what the F-bomb? Like, what just happened? We had never seen anything like this. Ever, you know, in the practice of medicine. And
the guy was dead.
He was dead for a long time. You know, his young brain
yeah.
was able to recover from, like, you know, sometimes a drowning victim, mm-hmm. no oxygen yeah. to their brain for several minutes, but they're young enough, their brain's plastic enough, they recover.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so he recovered. And you know, and I knew in that moment that angioplasty could save lives in heart attacks.
Yeah.
Yes.
It wasn't for probably 16 years. That the first study came out that showed that angioplasty can save lives in heart attacks. And there's a lot of controversy about angioplasty and stents, but there's no controversy about their value in heart attacks. Mm. That's not a controversial area. And so so I knew that. And the group that I came to here, I wanted someone to bring angioplasty here because everyone was having a strong experience that this was really valuable. And I saw that construction worker a year later in clinic. He was doing great. He had quit smoking, which was great.
Good.
You know. And so there was a very powerful impact
on
me.
Yeah, what a great
And you're saying
experience.
It took 16 yeah. years to go through the hoops before
that's about
you could
how
do it again?
Yeah.
But that's something we've commented many yeah. times in this show is that the science
yes.
moves a lot faster
yeah.
than the regulatory environment and the profession. Mm-hmm. You know, the science was there even before you put that first balloon in that young man.
Yes, somebody had an idea.
Somebody had an idea. Somebody developed it. Somebody sat in their kitchen and made the balloons, for goodness
yeah.
sakes, and then held a little course that I'm quite sure was not sanctioned by the, you know, the big societies.
Uh-huh.
They had not even approved it. This is kind of
CME
a wild
CME accredited.
Yeah, this is
no, it was not CME accredited.
No, you know, this would not be accredited at that early stage. But doctors that wanted to be on the cutting edge were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And you saved that man's life. So you demonstrated it to your satisfaction. The science was real. 16 years later, the papers start getting published. And,
right.
And that's the point, is that the science runs so far ahead of the standard of care.
Right.
The things that we look at and figure out start getting done by the risk takers in medicine long before it becomes, quote, standard.
Sure, and they are at risk. They could stand to lose their license if things went wrong.
And, you know, I've bumped up against the powers that be from time to time, and quite frankly, I don't give a damn, because I'm convinced that what I'm doing is the right thing to do for myself and my patients, you know, and if they don't like it, well, you know, as long as they don't pull my license, I don't care. They're free to like it or not like it. You know, but I'm still going to do what I believe is the right thing to do for my patients. And in this case, you did the right thing for that guy that otherwise they just buried him. He'd have rotted in the ground instead of getting up and leading a long, productive life.
You know, it occurred to me, I learned something else during that case that I didn't mention on the last program. You know, when I was talking to the guy who's on the table, he calmed down. We're talking. I'm getting his history, learning more about him. And he told me he smoked. And I said, you can't ever smoke again. You know, it's just not possible. And I'll finish this after your break.
I'm sorry. I pushed the button just before you went into that. And that's as much my fault as anybody's. But we are going to finish this story and start taking some calls as soon as we come back. We've got the lines are full right now, but, the next time we finish up with the caller, you can call at 1-888-312-5757. I've got Dr. Reuben Maiden, our cardiologist, with us today. He is here. We'll be right back.
Leading Edge Medicine. For the first time in history, you can choose how you age. Call with your question at 1-888-312-5757. That's 1-888-312-5757.
Hey, my wife and I are patients of yours for probably 12 years or so. I really appreciate all you guys do. We really do. Comes from my wife, too, because she just loves Dr. Umet. You know, they talk about everything. But thank you very much, and you guys had a great weekend.
I fall to pieces. 23 minutes past the hour. I've got Dr. Reuben Maiden along with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and let's just get something out of the way. It's a little awkward, but we are getting calls for your phone number.
Yeah.
So with that said, you told me when we talked about this a week or two or three ago that it was real important that I not promote your practice. Because you're very busy and you have a waiting line, a waiting list, you might say. But we can give out the number. We'll give it out here just this once.
As long as folks recognize that if you call, you're not going to get in right away.
Yeah, it could be five, 6 weeks, what have you. So here's the number, 425-899-0555. 425-899-0555. But that's a good problem for you, frustrating for the listeners, but that's okay. It's the way it is.
You just need to train up half a dozen really good assistants and teach them the way it ought to be done.
Or become a professor and have residents under you and train them.
Yes, those would be wonderful ideas.
Yeah. Yes.
Although, and that has been my fantasy from time to time, is I have often wondered, if I decide to change careers, what would I do? And teaching. I think it would be fun to be a college professor. and teach young people about human biology.
Oh, I agree too. I would love to have teaching in my life.
The problem is that in today's environment, teaching them real biology would get you fired. Because, you know, they'd want you to pretend that there are 47 different genders and they change depending on your mood on a given day. And, you know, XY chromosomes don't shift. You know, you got all X's, you're female. You got a mix of X and Y, you're male. And biology doesn't give a damn about what you think or wish or want or, you know, it just is.
And one of the beauties of teaching is that we also get to learn.
Yes.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
So in our teaching, it opens our eyes to other ways of thinking, and, mm-hmm. and I love that.
And then the younger kids that you are teaching, they're so curious. They're, you know, mm-hmm. inquisitive. They want more, so it stimulates you more. So all the way around, a good option.
All right.
Anyway.
And with that, you were just starting a story.
Yeah, this is interesting. So I had told that young gentleman who, by the way, was just barely older than me at the time. I told him when he was on the table, you know, you can't smoke anymore. It was very interesting the first time I saw him back because he had quit smoking. Mm. And, you know, quitting smoking is hard.
Yes.
And people don't just do it because a doctor says, hey, you should quit smoking. Yeah. They don't do that. It's so difficult. And it just made me curious about what was it. He said, well, you know, when you told me to quit smoking, I just got it. Mm. And I realized, as I practiced with this over time, when people came in with heart attacks and we're doing emergency procedures and we're saving their lives and there's been a death or a near-death experience, there's a very intimate space.
Yes.
There's a very vulnerable space that people are in. They're literally open-hearted. Their hearts have been broken open, literally, in a way. And there's a way that information or truth can come through. And, you know, a lot of times, every time, actually, when I've just gone through an experience like that with a person, if they're on the table and they're just coming out of this open space and they're a smoker, I'll say, you've just had your last cigarette. You're never going to smoke again. Almost like a hypnotic state, right?
Yes.
And I can't tell you how effective that is, but also it's like, wow, you know, think about this. You get a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What have you done up to now, and what do you want to do differently with your second chance? Those moments on the cath table, the catheterization lab, those moments are so intimate, and the bonds that form between me and a person whose life has just been in my hands like that, it's a place of grace.
Yes, it is.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful opportunity. You know, smoking's very hard. I remember a guy who was also 39, had a heart attack, was a smoker, comes back to clinic with his wife, and he's still smoking. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, you know, I said, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know not to smoke. And she just bursts out laughing because he was a NASA engineer.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's funny.
Shall we take some more calls?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
All right. Let us go to Tom in Renton. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, doctors. Appreciate you taking my call. This call is actually for Dr. Maiden. I had a question about the calcium scoring. Dr. Umad that sits next to you has called me up last week about it, and she said my calcium score from the CT scan is super, super high, and I'm like a high risk. And I guess one of the observations they said was the LAD
yes.
has like about 5 lesions, and then there's like about 3 lesions on some other peripheral arteries and 13 lesions on another one. And I was wondering, and so with this high calcium score, I'm kind of concerned as to the kind of treatment that's available, whether, I don't know, you mentioned about stents, angioplasty, or bypass. But I know the next step would be like taking some tests to kind of like assess how serious it is.
Good.
Let me ask you, how are you feeling? Are you having any symptoms that concern you?
Well, that's the kind of surprising thing when Dr. Eman mentioned it, because I feel fine. I not wind, you know, I don't feel winded or anything, and haven't done any really aerobic exercise since maybe March when the gym's closed. And, you know, I used to play basketball once a week and stuff, go to the gym and stuff, but I've been feeling great and stuff. And but in the past, I think I mentioned to Dr. Urim that I did have some like tweaks in my chest, and I was thinking that that was just from lifting weights and stuff. But other than that, I feel fine, and the only real exercise I did is chasing my granddaughter around and stuff. So
you work great.
But about it.
Great. So it sounds like you're stable and you have a high calcium score, and what we've learned is that someone like you whose score is over 400, and I've gotten that information here from Dr. Umat, that the guidelines and the best thing to do is to run a stress test on you and make sure that there aren't any severe blockages that might be posing an additional problem. Calcium just means that you're forming some plaque in your vessels. It doesn't really tell you how much, how severe. It could be mild, could be moderate, could be severe. And a stress test helps then sort out who is in the more severe category. And when a score gets over 400, there's about a 5% chance that you have a severe blockage. So it's not like it's super high risk, right? But sort it out with see a cardiologist, get a stress test of your heart. And it's in the guidelines. Everyone would do that for a score over 400. And then go from that place forward. And there's a lot that can be done. And the majority of people don't need angioplasty stents bypass. The majority of people just need really good control of their risk factors. And these things can stabilize. We have studies that show that in a large number of people with really, really good control of risk factors, that we can reverse blockage in up to 80% of people. This is not a rare thing. So I wouldn't be too worried at listening to your story and follow up with a stress test with someone. I think that'd be great.
Let me put an additional query here.
Yes.
I think it's well established that with appropriate lifestyle and interventions, you can open up the blockages in most people, about 80%. But what about reducing the calcium? That's a tougher one.
Right. So the studies are a little bit mixed. Yeah, so first of all, reversing the calcium in the vessel isn't a goal. It's reversing the plaque that's a goal, right?
Yeah. But I get calls from people all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Saying, my calcium score was going up. 500, now it's up to 550. I'm doing everything I can.
Right.
Why is it rising? Why won't it go down?
Right. Let me address that.
Calcium is different from plaque.
Right. So calcium is one of the elements of plaque. And most studies suggest that once the calcium is there, even if the plaque is shrinking, think about calcium as like speckles inside the plaque, that even when the plaque is shrinking, the calcium doesn't go away, mm-hmm. right? The plaque mm-hmm. gets condensed as it goes away, but the calcium stays there. Another thing that you don't really think about is that calcium is actually one of the elements of the plaque that helps stabilize it so it doesn't become a split or dissect mm-hmm. and become a heart attack.
Precisely.
Right. Calcium is actually protective inside the plaque, and the highest calcified plaques have the least chance of having a heart attack. We just had a study a month ago that showed that. So that's very interesting. The other thing is that as you really improve your risk factors and especially lower cholesterol, the calcium score goes up. The plaque is laying down more calcium while it's shrinking.
As it's stabilizing.
To become more stable. So in my particular book, I use a calcium score to gauge where someone is at this moment in time. Mm-hmm. But because of all these reasons, I don't follow serum calcium scores. Mm-hmm. I don't do them at 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, because it doesn't tell me what the plaque is doing. And it can mislead me.
Yeah. But mm-hmm. if somebody's at 100 and a few years later they do another one, you know, at 300...
Right.
Then the question they often give us is, well, I want to lower that calcium score. And what is hard to get across to them is that's not the goal.
Yeah, exactly. They don't want to lower the calcium score. They want to reverse the plaque.
Precisely.
And there's no easy way to know that that's happening. There are some ways, but they're not easy. Okay. Right. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey.
I want to thank Dr. Umat for pointing that test out, because I was surprised that it's like about 1,500. And my wife is down to zero, so you know, I'm surprised both ways that, you know, I had the high score, and she had the lower score. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, appreciate the call, Tom. And with that, let me just say very quickly, it was Dr. Umat having the hunch. She looked at all of my labs because, obviously, as a patient at Longevity, she is my doctor, by the way, at Longevity, and she suggested the calcium score. That was the first step. I had the score. A week later, I was having to be in Hawaii. You called me and said, oops, my score was in the 500s, way above the 400 max preferred. And that's how I wound up at Dr. Maiden's office. Did the stress test first thing, just like you suggested Tom do. And then the next day, I had my rather interesting procedure on your table. That yes. wound up with 7 stents because my artery collapsed during the procedure, basically, right?
Yes, it yeah. became very unstable.
Yeah, so in any event, I am here because of her wisdom first and then his excellent talent and aftercare as well, I might point out. So I'm a very grateful person. Camper, happy camper. All right, we need to go to a break, and when we come back, we will take more calls. So you don't want to go far. We've got, let me think, do we have a line open? We might have one line open. Give it a shot at 1-888-312-5757.
Dr. Jacob.
I'm in the longevity program in Lynnwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realized why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow and the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at 2 men who were gambling in the dark.
Yes. We love Pat Boone, Staggerly.
Yes.
Hey, well, welcome back, everybody. We were having an interesting conversation during the break. And if you just tuned in, this is Leading Edge Medicine.
We always have our best conversations during the break.
That's right. Well, I'm going to make sure that the people hear about this. I think it's important for people to know that the calcium score, you told me, I'm assuming it's still the case, is not covered by insurance.
It can be covered by insurance.
Depends on the insurance.
Just depends upon your medical history and your carrier.
I think you told me that it was not at the time. This was, what, 3.5 years ago. But anyway, you said, do you mind doing it? Of course. I mean, you told me to do it. It was only like $100 to do the calcium score.
Mm-hmm.
But normally, primary care physicians and traditional cardiologists don't recommend just right out of the blue for no real reason to do a calcium score. Is that true?
Right. So that's been historically true, and still it's a way underutilized technology. But interestingly, in the last cholesterol guidelines from the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, they suggested that when someone has an intermediate cholesterol level, like not great, but not super high, and you're trying to decide what to do, that a calcium scan can be a great way to tell, is this person letting the cholesterol down in their arteries, so we need to be a lot more aggressive, or is this person not? So it's finally made it into the guidelines.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is from a leading edge medicine point of view, you knew that was a smart thing to do, whether it's covered by insurance or not. Who gives a rip?
$100 save your life.
That's right.
Right.
I think you're worth $100.
But even the point, the greater point that I'm trying to make, longevity saved my life. Because I'm smart enough to know I need to be a patient at Longevity because I need to stay on the leading edge.
Yes. Although during the commercial, Dr. Maiden was chatting about a particular imaging group now.
Yes.
That is not doing the calcium scores in the standard way. They're actually doing some axial imaging with their CAT scans and getting a better idea of what's happening within the lumen of the arteries. Mm. But that while that group is doing very, very cutting-edge, forward-looking sort of stuff, they are greatly disrespected by many of their peers, because the reality is innovation in medicine is hazardous to your reputation.
You took so much flack. Oh, my God.
Doctors are a very conservative group. I'm not talking politically conservative. I'm talking about conservative in that they're afraid of doing anything that isn't being done by everyone else. You know, and the example I have often used is that physicians often view themselves as a herd of herbivores on a plane being circled by predators with law degrees. and everybody is afraid to get out on the edge of the herd where they might get picked off.
Yeah.
And so everybody jostles to stay in the middle of the herd and do exactly what everybody else is doing, which is a wonderful way to avoid malpractice suits, but a terrible way to give cutting edge medicine.
I largely agree with that, but I'll give you another element.
Okay.
All right. So I remember starting med school, and one of the first things I was taught was, first, do no harm.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
We all got that. Part of the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm.
Yep.
And it's driven into the culture of medicine.
It is,
right?
Yes.
And so the other thing is, a lot of people who choose to go into medicine are very scientifically thought people.
Just
think scientifically. And so we're taught to rely on studies, large randomized controlled studies. That's why it took 16 years between the first angioplasty that I saw saved a heart during a heart attack, saved a life, before the study came out that showed it worked.
Sure.
And so I think that in addition to being concerned about stepping out, there's also this part, I have this person's safety and welfare in my hands. And if I do something that is unproven,
sure,
will I cross the line? So I think that's also part of it.
It is. But how many people died between when you saved that first person's life and 16 years later when the studies came out?
Yeah, that's...
Not doing something.
Exactly.
Is doing something. You're making a choice.
That's where we each have to find our own boundary and our own line. And
precisely.
You and I have stepped over that boundary from the average of the herd. That's definitely true.
You know, we are by nature risk takers, you know. And as long as we let our patients know honestly what we know and what we think.
Yes, exactly.
Those are two different things.
I know this.
I believe that.
Yes.
If you are willing to take this chance, we can do this. If you want to be careful and conservative, we will do that.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that completely.
Those are two very different things.
There are so many patients that come to me, Dr. So-and-so on the internet said this. And I go, well, that's an opinion.
Yes.
But it's not written as an opinion. It's written as though it's a fact and data. Mm-hmm. Some of the things I appreciate about what you guys do here is you're very upfront with patients about what we know is going to work and then what we also believe is going to be shown at some point to work. And the patients get to choose how much of this am I going to do, because they have their own lines of safety.
Now, I want to make a point right here. You're one of the smartest doctors in the Pacific Northwest. I think, Jerry, I've heard you say that. I mean, you're the finest. You're his favorite cardiologist. And you've given me permission to say this, and you're a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic. You're smart. You're probably, clearly, provably the smartest, maybe.
But I'd point out some of the things I've talked to Ruben about that I am doing for me, he has not opted to do for him.
Right.
And that's because, you know, we look at the data, we look at the studies that have been done, we draw our own conclusions. And one of my beliefs as a physician is, I'm not their daddy. Mm-hmm. I'm not their boss. I don't tell anybody what they have to do. I offer advice and counsel, and they accept it or they don't. I mean, you know, and if you don't own yourself, you don't own anything. You know, so every human being is in charge of their own life. And it just bothers me when I see people turning control of their life over to other people, even when that physician has a medical degree. You know, mm-hmm. it's your life. The decisions need to be yours, and you need to be able to, you need to be willing to ask questions and speak up about your concerns.
Well, and most importantly, you need to be well informed, and that's what longevity is all about. That's what longevity, that's why you're a patient at longevity, because even though you're obviously smart, you're the top of your field and all that, you're still a patient at longevity. And we're proud to have you, but we're just proud that we refer. How many patients? Come on,
lots.
Tell me. How many patients have you referred to this guy?
We think a lot. We think alike. Yeah. You know, we think yes. alike in a lot of areas of medicine. And this isn't like a testimonial that I'm doing for you guys. I'm not here advertising myself today. I think what you guys do, and I have for years, this functional medicine approach is really essential to get to optimal health. It's helped me get to more optimal health. I'm here grateful, you know, and so thank you guys.
Well, with that, let me just quickly say we've skipped several breaks, by the way, since you've been here. We're going to skip this break, too, because I don't want to take the time for lousy commercials.
Anyway, they're great commercials.
They are. And if you want coffee, Camino Island Coffee was going to be the next commercial. Go to CaminoIslandCoffee.com/longevity and get your first pound for 99 cents. You're okay. Nuts if you want good coffee.
That
there you go.
Okay, now we've got our commercial. Keep moving.
Now we go. That saved 48 seconds. But I will say, in fact, I mentioned this a couple hours ago. I got a call from Bea, or an email from Bea again. And for those of you who are starting to realize that there's never been a better time to get healthy, even to deal with some preventive issues, that type of thing, and you want one of our free health analysis appointments, well, the good news is we've told you we're growing, we're expanding. And we have at least 15 and I think 16 or 17 appointments in each of our three clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. So we've surrounded you. We've made it easy. And we now have, through at least October 23rd, we have those appointments. So they're there. They're free. You get two free tests, the blood test, also the special in-body test. And they're free. The appointment is free. But we're also making available your choice, either $100 of free longevity supplements or our two fitness books and the fitness bands. Your choice, just for coming in and taking that little baby step and to determine what some of your basic health risks are. If you want the advantage of a Dr. UMAT, and we have wonderful doctors, who did for me, just thought, I need that score. Well, general practitioners are generally not going to tell you to do that. But it saved my life. Sounds dramatic. It's just a fact. And it's available for you. Your first step, just a baby step, make a free health analysis appointment. Go to our website. You do it online at lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. Push that little button, schedule now, and it is so easy to do, take you about 3 minutes. It could be a turning point, a real crossroads for you and your health. All right, now let's take another call, shall we? Mark in Lakewood. Mark, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Reuben Maiden as our special guest today. Mark, are you there? Well, Mark was there, and then we told he dropped a few minutes ago, but that he came back.
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. There we go. You're back. We hear you now. Hi, Mark. Mark, are you there? Okay, let's go to Buckley and talk with Charlie. Charlie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I got a question for specifically Dr. Reuben. And it's concerning my wife's cholesterol. Last time she had it checked, it has gone down a bit. Its value range is, 225. I'm pretty sure that's kind of high.
And your question?
My question is to Dr. Reuben, does he ever advise his patients, besides taking medications, that because she's kind of allergic to statin, and actually last week I called and Yeah, Dr. Nixon and Dr. Umat said that when she'd break out from a rash from taking this Ezetimibe.
And, oh, yeah, Crestor, yeah.
Right, and so we called the nurse, and she says, okay, you can stop taking it. The thing is, she's been also taking the red yeast rice and the CoQ10, and I believe that's really what has lowered her cholesterol, and she really watches her diet, too. The thing is, there's a backstory here. 10 years ago, the wife ended up having major surgery on her back. And that's why they thought the why her left leg hurt, because it's like sciatic or whatever. And, you know, the physician that did that, the specialist surgeon, he, you know, he's really good, real sharp, everything. He even went a little farther than that and made like a new 20-year-old back for her. Well, it turned out with talking to Dr. Nixon, he told me about the symptoms that she had, and it was a in between the ilia and the femoral, I guess it's the same artery, they found out there was a blockage. And so then they did the angioplasty, and she got up off the table and beat me out of the hospital. So I'm serious. I'm serious. There was no pain anymore in that leg. You know, at the point, you know, it was getting to 90-some percent blockage, and she could eventually she could only go like five feet or so. And I was wondering, Dr. Rubin, if just to stay away from this. I mean, the other one is not verapamil. It's some kind of injection they're talking about giving her. I think that's another statin. Yes, and do you ever advise your patients to maybe keep holistic?
Sure.
So,
let me address this. So first of all, cholesterol is really one of those controversial topics. You know, that some people can have high cholesterol their entire lives and never form a single blockage. Mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. Other people's cholesterols are a little bit high, not that bad, and they develop severe disease. There's a lot of biological variability about whether cholesterol causes problems. And so simply having a high number is not necessarily a reason to treat. And so as doctors, we try to sort out who with high cholesterol really needs treatment and who does not. And it's complicated, and it takes some thought, and it takes some shared decision-making with the patient. One thing we do know, which is your wife's case, is that when you're forming plaque in your vessels, like she did down in her iliofemoral system, that when plaque is forming, cholesterol is important. It's not the only important thing, but it's very important in addition to everything else. And that lowering cholesterol can stabilize the plaque, keep it from growing, keep it from coming back, or even reverse it. So your wife is one of those people that we would say, yes, she definitely needs cholesterol treatment. And then the process is how. How are we going to get there, given her side effects and her intolerances? And so there are a lot of ways, and there are a lot of natural therapies that can work, such as red yeast rice that you pointed out. Other natural therapies as well have been effective in many patients. Red yeast rice has the best studies that show that it works. It has studies that show that, as one large study with 5,000 patients, that shows that red yeast rice actually prevents heart attacks, strokes, and death, and even cancer in about 30 to 50% of people. These are control trials. So we know that works really well. We know there's other natural therapies that don't have quite as much robust data, but have been effective, things like berberine, citrus bergamot, polycosanol, artichoke, etc. A lot of things naturally can be tried. And sometimes when I have someone who's really resistant to drugs, that they don't feel well on drugs, that I would reach to a pure natural therapy approach. And if it works, great. If we can get the LDLs, in this case, where there's severe peripheral vascular disease, we want to run LDLs under 70. That's the bad cholesterol. If we can get there with natural therapies, great, especially if it can incorporate red yeast rice, which has great patient outcome trials. If we can't get there with natural therapies, we go through our drug trials. We go through statin drugs. We go through ezetimibe or Zetia, which you just mentioned. Yeah. And then we go to an injectable form of drugs called PCSK9 inhibitors, which are also very effective. So where she is in the process is she's having some intolerance. They're trying some different things. Stay with the process. The cholesterol does need to be treated. No one's suggesting don't treat it. It's just how are we going to get there? And then even if it takes her all the way to PCSK9 inhibitor shots, if that's what it takes, well, then that will protect her in the future.
I see. And are you familiar? I'm not sure if they call it. Is it verapamil or Repatha? I think it's Repatha.
Right. Yeah, not verapamil. That's a different category of drugs.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's called Repatha. And yes, I'm familiar with Repatha. That's a PCSK9 inhibitor shot. It's very interesting. People are very resistant to thinking about going on the shots. But the shots do something that no other cholesterol therapy lowering can do. The first studies that came out with Repatha and the PCSK9 inhibitors was an 18-month trial to see how well did it lower cholesterol. It wasn't a huge group of patients. It was, dose-finding studies. What was amazing in that trial was that even though the trial was too small to ever think you would see clinical benefits, like does it prevent heart attacks, strokes, death, that the PCSK9 inhibitors showed improved mortality in an 18-month trial. And what you need to know in medicine, that's unheard of. To see a mortality benefit in just 18 months in a small study means it really works, right? So what these drugs do, unlike all cholesterol-lowering treatments, statins, red yeast, rice, et cetera, they all deplete the body of cholesterol. They either reduce production or they reduce absorption from the gut or they increase elimination of cholesterol. They all do something that lowers the body of cholesterol. But what the PCSK9 inhibitors do is they drive the cholesterol into the cells to get it out of the blood. So the cells have incredible amount of cholesterol available for energy. And a lot of the side effects you see from all the other cholesterol treatments don't occur on those drugs. And the things people often complain about, like, am I low on energy? My muscles are aching because they don't have enough energy and maybe getting a little brain fog. You know, all these things, they don't seem to happen because the cells are becoming absorbed with a huge amount of extra cholesterol they use for energy. Cholesterol is used for energy in our bodies, right?
Sure.
And
sure.
So I wouldn't be afraid if you need to go to PCSK9 inhibitors. I would welcome it. If you can qualify for it, it's probably the best single thing out there. But time will tell.
And the question is if you qualify for it, because it's not cheap.
Right.
It's $13,000 a month.
Yes.
Right? And so
really?
If your insurance, really? Yeah, so if you're, I mean, a year, $13,000 a year. So if your insurance doesn't cover it, it's a tough pill to swallow.
Yes.
And with that, we've got to say goodbye, Charlie, but thank you for your call. That is interesting stuff. $13,000 a year. Interesting. Hey, now technically our time is up. Can you stay just a little longer?
Sure, I'm happy to.
You okay to do that? Okay, this is fun because we've got a bunch of other callers here that would love to ask you a question. We've got just a couple of minute break. We have to do a top of the hour break, and we will be back with the second hour. And go ahead to lmclinic.com and make your free health analysis appointment at Longevity Medical Clinic, lmclinic.com. Make your appointment. And like I said, we'll be back before you know it.
The preceding program was paid for by Longevity Medical Clinic and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of KVI management and staff. Stay tuned after the news for Hour 2. KVI Seattle.
Tune in and tune up from auto bodies to healthy bodies.